Welcome to the Practical Prophetic, where prophetic ministry is made practical. I'm Beth Wingate, I'm your host, and welcome to the podcast. On our podcast today, we are going to continue the conversation we started with the Great Commission about having that mission mindset. But today we are going to talk about the part that says to set the captives free and to make disciples. So I want to talk about deliverance and discipleship, and I believe that they go hand in hand. And I'm going to also suggest that you start with yourself before you can really minister deliverance and discipline to other people. Although, remember, this is our commission. This is what we are called to do. This is your mission. And this is for every believer, not just for your pastor or the staff at your church. This is for every believer. Now, there's a season when you're a new Christian that you may not be ready to do that. But if you've been in church for at least a couple of years, you need to be in the place where you're being discipled, where you are free from strongholds in your life, and that you can turn around and begin to minister these things to other people. Okay, so let's get into it. By the way, I'm taking a lot of my notes today from the book Deliverance and Demonology by Derek Prince. So I'm using this as a guide. I am not an expert in this area. However, I really believe this is important to you, and I'm going to break it down in very easy, practical terms. I'm going to give us a lot of scripture, and I'm just going to keep it really, really simple. Now, something foundational that I want to lay down as some groundwork is this is what Jesus did. This is how Jesus ministered, and He is our ultimate example. And He told us, even greater things will you do in my name. And so we need to have a basic general understanding of deliverance and of discipleship. In fact, they go hand in hand. I believe it was Jensen Franklin said, some things come out through deliverance and some through discipleship, but they go hand in hand. You really cannot have one without the other. And I'm going to say it this way. So I like to look at everything on the pattern of the temple, of the outer court, inner court, and Holy of Holies, represented by your flesh, soul, and spirit. Now, the soul is that mingled realm between your flesh and your spirit, represented by your mind, will, emotions, and intellect. And then your flesh, of course, is that primal, natural self. You know, flesh is what we often call it in the church world. Basically, you know, I like to think of that as a caveman. You know, me hungry, me angry, me sad. And it just keeps it simple. The soul realm is really where most of the spiritual warfare in your life takes place. And really, this is ultimately what we're talking about is spiritual warfare. I'm in a class at our church right now where we're talking about spiritual warfare, and it's been fantastic. And I'm just going to keep this real simple, though, keep it really basic. And I want to just go through some of the things, really, that Derek Prince has, and I'm just going to highlight some practical conversation. Now, this is something that I like to look at spiritual warfare sort of under this lens right here. In Mark 1, verse 39, it says, so he continued preaching in their synagogues and expelling evil spirits throughout the whole of Galilee. This is speaking about Jesus. Now, oftentimes when Jesus would minister deliverance, there would be a physical manifestation of that spiritual presence in someone's life. There would be the evidence through some kind of manifestation. For example, in Mark 3:11, someone, you know, that was delivered fell down and cried out with a loud voice. Another one in Mark 9:20, the boy was frothing at the mouth, and the demon cried out and tore at him. And after deliverance, he looked like a dead person. These are right out of Derek Prince's book describing these accounts in your Bible. Another one is a similar manifestation in the ministry of Philip in your Bible. In fact, in 1 Timothy 5:22, we are told that laying hands on someone should be done with caution. In fact, it says lay hands on no man suddenly. And listen, laying hands on people, this is how oftentimes in the Bible, deliverance was ministered through the laying on of hands. Now, we know that it also often, when there was a tough situation, required prayer and fasting. And so you don't want to go into this, all willy-nilly. At the same time, you don't need to be afraid as a believer to pray for people for deliverance. Now, I will say this. We've ministered through our ministry, my mom's ministry, for years, deliverance to people. And oftentimes, there's not a big manifestation. Some people will cry, things like that. Really, I think it depends, in my opinion, on the level of demonic influence in their life. And, there's not always going to be a grand manifestation. That's not really something we should really be focused on. But don't be freaked out if that happens. So let me get into it. Let me give you some scripture. I just wanted to kind of lay down a little bit of foundation about deliverance and demons and things like that. And I want to talk about it in this kind of way. Now, Derek Prince in his book explains it this way. Oftentimes, the activities of demonic forces in your life can be summed up this way. Number one, and there's 6 points here, they often entice you. And you can look at James 1:14 that says that we're often drawn away and enticed by what is already on the inside of us. Another one is to deceive us. Another one is to enslave us, Romans 8:15, or torment us. And then sometimes demons can drive and compel you, like in Luke 8:29, or can even defile you, like in Titus 1:15. Okay, this is sort of just the basics, the foundation. These are some of the most basic ways that the activity of a demonic force can be expressed in your life or in the life of someone else. Now, let me say it this way. This is something else that Derek Prince says in his book. He said, demons typically operate from two positions, from either outside the body or from within the body. When they operate from outside the body, we must resist them. We know the scripture that says, resist the devil and he will flee. Also, you can add on to that. Oftentimes, you can just say, in Jesus' name. And then when they operate from within the body, they must be expelled. Now, let me break this down in what sort of my loose interpretation that is very practical and basic based off of what he's saying here and some of the scriptures that he gave. Now, I said that we have like these three parts, outer court, inner court, and Holy of Holies. I sort of look at spiritual warfare on three levels as well. Oftentimes, and this is summed up by the first two, to entice and deceive, I look at it as you can be under attack or someone can be under attack from what I call demonic influence. So that would sort of encapsulate entice and deceive. So that would be basically like the devil, so to speak, or that demon whispering in your ear. You know, when you have, we did a whole podcast on rogue thoughts. When you have an intrusive thought, one that did not originate from you, but yet you thought it. And I gave the example of the little boy that was there with his mother, and they were on like a hillside with the beach below them. And on the opposite hillside, right on the edge, there was a person sitting in a chair. And the little boy told his mom, what if someone walked by and pushed the man off the cliff into the water? And the mother was shocked that her son would even have this thought. And she scolded him and said, oh, you know, son, we don't do that. That's called an intrusive thought. And it was funny, and me and my son would joke about that. But that's an example of how a demonic spirit can entice you. I'm not saying you're possessed. I'm not saying, you have been possessed by a demonic spirit. Satan comes to tempt us all, and temptation is not sin. It is when we partner with and dwell on that temptation that it then becomes sin. And so we don't want to do that. We want to do exactly what the scripture said. We want to resist the devil and he will flee from you. So first thing you do is, like, when you have one of these intrusive thoughts, you just have to say, nope, that did not come from me. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And in fact, in that podcast, we talked about the word rebuke, which basically means you reject that thought and you recognize that is not, you know, that does not represent who you are, that you're a child of God. And so you just resist it. Very simple, not too difficult. Deception is another way that really sort of is representative by that first level of demonic influence. You can be deceived. Sometimes people, when they want what they want, they'll try to twist things to get what they want, and you can begin to open yourself up to deception. And so just repent. Just resist the enemy. Don't let your mind wander in those directions. There's a wonderful book by Joyce Meyer called The Battlefield of the Mind. I recommend that book. It is fantastic. Anything by Derek Prince is fantastic. Those are sort of some of the gold standards, and I would definitely encourage you to listen to those things. So really, that first level is what I just call demonic influence. Now, do you need deliverance from demonic influence? I'm going to say yes, you probably do. And just a simple prayer will take care of that. You know, just pray a prayer something like this. Maybe you've been dealing with some intrusive thoughts. Here's how I would, for example, pray about that. You know, I would say something to the effect of, Lord, I pray that you would put a guard over my mind against these intrusive thoughts, Lord. And if there's any rogue thoughts in me, Lord, I just pray that you would take those out, put a hedge of your protection around me. Lord, cover me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help me to bring to my remembrance your word, your holy word, as a defense against these things. And so, Lord, I just pray that you protect me and cover me and deliver me from any rogue thoughts in Jesus' name. And that would be basically a simple version of a prayer you could pray when you're dealing with enticement and deception from what I call demonic influence. Now, let's move to the next level. And I'm just keeping this real practical and basic. The next level is what I have come to learn is like demonic oppression. Not to be confused with possession, but oppression. And oppression is basically when you are in bondage or you have your mind has been wrapped up in really dark, negative, depressive thought cycles. That's probably the best way I could describe that. This is what Derek Prince calls it. He calls it enslavement or torment. And there are people who have, because of trauma, because of persistent sin, because of addiction, or whatever the case may be, they have allowed the enemy to have a stronghold in the area of their thinking, and they're in bondage to that, and they're a captive to that style of thinking from the enemy, and they need deliverance. Now, they don't necessarily, you know, they're not demon possessed, but I would say it this way. It's as if the enemy has sort of wrapped himself around their head and has them bound up in their mind. That's the way I visualize. I'm a very visual thinker, so I think of it in those terms, that the enemy can enslave people in their thinking, maybe with depression. You know, maybe something happened and they just keep dwelling on being rejected or victimized or sad or whatever the case is, and they begin to partner with that depression, and the enemy begins to sort of wrap up their thinking with depressive thoughts. And so those people, and maybe it's you, they need deliverance. They need the blood of Jesus and his word spoken over them with the authority of Jesus' name. And so that's how you would deal with that. But I'm telling you, I would even argue there are levels of oppression, and demonic oppression is no joke, and it can really be destructive in someone's life. And so if you're experiencing that, you need to deal with it. You need to deal with it. You don't need to continue to allow the enemy to captivate your thought life in that way. And so I would definitely say that falls under the categories of enslavement and torment. And that's not of God. That is when the enemy comes to try to rob you of your peace. We can't let him do that. And so I would even move on to the next level. And I'm just keeping this really basic, really simple, and I'm moving through these rather quickly. This is what Derek Prince calls the next two, to drive and compel and to defile. And I would definitely say that's when the enemy has moved in and he's in control. And that's after a long period of demonic influence and demonic oppression. And moving into categories like possession, and I'm sure there's different levels of that, but when someone is bound up in serious addiction, I mean, you don't have to be super spiritual to turn on the TV or turn on, you know, TikTok and things, and you'll see these little clips of homeless people who are on drugs in the inner cities. And they're just demon possessed. I mean, they're just like, you know, laying in the street, nasty and dirty, or they're talking crazy out of their head, you know, or they're just, their behavior just becomes, I mean, almost zombie-like. It's just so sad to see these people so bound up by the enemy because of this addiction. And I definitely think when people have persisted in addiction, then it can definitely over time lead to levels of possession where basically they no longer have any impulse control and the enemy has control over their life. And that's so sad to see. All right, let's talk about the next phase of what I want to discuss here. And that is that Jesus tells us in John 8:11, he says to those who have been delivered, he says, go and sin no more. And he also tells us to make disciples of people. And I really believe this speaks to the discipline aspect of deliverance. And they really go hand in hand. You know, once the house has been swept clean, as the Bible basically says, then you have to maintain order in the house. And we do that through discipline. And that means prayer, getting in the Word of God, learning the Word of God, changing the way you think. You know, maybe it means for a season, rearranging priorities in your life and relationships in your life until you can get those things dealt with. We see this very easily. I'll just use this as an example. People who have been bound up in drug addiction, oftentimes we will see them go through 12-step programs, and it seems that those can help for a while, and then people will kind of relapse, and then they'll come back on the 12-step program, and they'll do great for a while, and then they'll relapse again, and it seems to be this cycle. Well, I would argue that oftentimes that is because the element of deliverance is missing from the equation. It really takes both deliverance and discipline to really walk in freedom. And there's wonderful programs out there like Sozo and Freedom and different programs. And that's basically a form of slow deliverance and discipline all rolled into one. And that's fantastic. But Jesus often went in and laid hands on people and he brought freedom to them and then told them to go and sin no more and introduced the idea of discipleship because he would send them out all over to teach the people. And so it takes both. We gotta have both. Oftentimes, like I said, in these programs, there'll be this endless cycle. And because they're teaching discipline, but they're not necessarily teaching deliverance. And so that's why it takes both. Jensen Franklin has said before, and it really stuck with me, is you cannot deliver that which needs discipline, and you cannot discipline that which needs deliverance. It takes both. And so really, that's just the long and the short of this particular podcast, is like Derek Prince says, when the enemy is operating from without a person, you must resist him. But when he begins to operate from within, we must expel. And so when you're dealing with oppression, oftentimes, that's going to mean you need deliverance. You need absolute deliverance. And I'm going to say you need to learn first how to lay hands on yourself and pray for deliverance. And then we clean that house through discipline, prayer, reading God's word, etc. And so you can absolutely minister deliverance to yourself. There's no question about that. Let me talk one more time about Derek Prince has said this also in this book that I'm looking through about deliverance, that there's 6 steps to deliverance. Number 1, to be humble. Number 2, to be honest. Number 3, to confess your sins. Number 4, to repent and renounce all evil. Number 5, to forgive others. That's an important one. And number 6, to call on the name of the Lord. Those are just some basic steps to deliverance. And I'm going to add the element in of, you know, some only come out through the laying on of hands and some only come out through prayer and fasting. And so that is important. I could go deeper into this book, but I'm just really going to keep it simple and basic today. You know, when we talked last week about the Great Commission, it said one of the things we are to do is to set captives free, and it said that we are to make disciples. And disciple is connected and contains the word discipline within it. Let me also say this too, and this is also right out of Derek Prince's book. I don't pretend to be an expert in this area, but I do have a good deal of experience, and I do know that I would say Derek Prince has really done a well thought out study, and I just, you know, I kind of consider him the original. Here's something else he gave, and it was 7 steps for keeping deliverance. And I think these are important. And I would call these the discipleship steps. Number 1 is to yield to the Lordship of Jesus in every area of your life. Amen. Number 2, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Number 3, to live by the Word of God. Now that's easier said than done, so you're going to have to practice that daily. Number 4, to put on the whole armor of God. And then number 5, cultivate right relationships. This one is so important. Oftentimes when someone is dealing with addiction, they'll have them go into a program, and usually for about 28 days, they'll remove them from their normal life, really so that they can sever ties with all of those old relationships that were keeping them in bondage, and that they can form and cultivate new relationships. It's essential. You have to pull someone out of their environment when they're in really bad stages of addiction. And then the last one here, number 7, is so important, and it is to make Jesus central in your life. And that is found in John 12:31-32. So that is the basic breakdown of deliverance and discipline based on the book that Derek Prince has. And I'm going to throw in there Jensen Franklin's quote about you cannot deliver that which needs discipline, and you cannot discipline that which needs deliverance. That's why oftentimes some of these 12-step programs fail, because it takes both. And I believe that you really have got to, you've got to desire and want Jesus to be Lord of your life. And that's an important element too. And so I just wanted to encourage you that you can walk and operate in deliverance and discipline in your life, and then you can begin to minister that to other people. It's really important. And, you know, start with yourself. Start with yourself. If there's patterns of what I call stinking thinking that have you bound up, maybe, like I said, it's depression or insecurity, a victim mentality, jealousy, you know, whatever, then you need to deal with that. Lay hands on yourself. You need to pray over yourself. And then you need to begin to work on those things in your life for yourself. You know, there's wonderful studies online. The Bible app has all kind of studies you can do and devotionals that are geared to different topics. You know, read anything by Derek Prince. It's fantastic. Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind is a wonderful one. And so this is an area of your life that you can apply God's word to and see a change in your life. And then you can help then take this and share it with other people, because that is the Great Commission, and that is what we are called to do, and you can do it. You don't have to have REV in front of your name to minister deliverance to people. And it doesn't mean, you know, it's like a scene out of The Exorcist. Sometimes it just means a simple prayer and then really digging into God's Word. It's so simple. Sometimes we make it a little more dramatic than it needs to be. But even if it gets dramatic, don't be afraid. Just trust the Holy Spirit that is in you, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Have a blessed day. For listening to today's podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button so you'll be informed next time I post. Thank you again, and have a blessed day.